Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome in San Diego. It's Andrew Bowen in for Jade Hindman. On today's show, we'll get Thanksgiving cooking tips from a local chef and YouTuber. And for the cooking averse, we'll have tips for eating out on Thanksgiving. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. It's that time of year to figure out what you're bringing to Thanksgiving dinner. For a lot of us, deciding what to make or how to make it can feel overwhelming. If you've been putting that off, don't worry. We've got you covered with some last-minute Thanksgiving shortcuts. I'm joined now in our studios by resident chef here on Midday Edition, Sam Zion, also known as Sam the Cooking Guy. Sam, welcome to Midday Edition.
Do you know how good it makes me feel to hear you say our resident chef?
Yeah.
And now this is now a tradition for us.
And you're not just a chef, you're a cookbook author, you're a YouTuber based here in San Diego.
I am, yeah.
And I'm so excited to get into this with you. So last year you made us an omelet out of Thanksgiving leftovers. This year you've brought in a waffle maker. Tell us what you're making.
So last year I made a stuffing omelet that we have been making for, I don't know, maybe 25 years, the day after Thanksgiving. We intentionally make extra stuffing because for me, it's one of the best parts of the meal. And what do you do with it? So that's what you do with it. We make stuffing omelets. A couple eggs beaten, let them start to set. The warm stuffing goes in. Some American cheese on top. You fold that into the crescent and it melts. It's fantastic.
It's all coming back to me. Yeah.
There you go.
So tell me about this waffle.
Okay, so
here.
This one is, in fact, our YouTube video today is 4 things to make with stuffing. And this is one of them. So I have in this container, I have a couple cups of stuffing, one egg beaten, and then about a third of a cup of shredded cheddar jack cheese.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's very simple. So I have a hot waffle maker in front of me that I will... Oh, there's a little steam.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll spray it because you have to spray it. You don't want things to stick.
Yeah.
And then, maybe I can turn this for the camera. How's that?
Okay.
Look at me. And then we're just going to take and put this guy in.
So you're spooning it in there.
Yep. So that sizzle, you want to hear the sizzle. Look, you're not putting anything into a waffle maker until you get your little green light, generally
mm-hmm. speaking.
Right,
yeah.
But so this is, if you can't do this, there's something wrong and you've never used one of these things before. So spread it out as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than putting waffle batter in. Waffle batter, you'd put it mostly into the middle and then you'd shut it and it would spread to the sides by itself.
Yeah.
This you kind of have to spread to the sides.
Yeah, it's less battery and more doughy kind 100%, of.
100%,
yeah.
So you can see, right, like that. So now all I'm going to do is I'm going to shut it, squeeze it down.
And we'll see how long that takes to cook.
And I'm going to leave it, right?
Well,
and
so while that's cooking...
Let's talk.
Yeah, we brought you in for some Thanksgiving shortcuts. So how to make your life a little easier in the kitchen without compromising on flavor. What advice do you have for us?
Well, I think one of the most important things is start early. Mm-hmm. There's things that you can do. Everything doesn't have to be last minute, mm-hmm. you know? Mashed potatoes, for example. An important part of Thanksgiving, I think most people would agree, whatever you're having, there needs to be turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes. I think a lot of people like that. Make your mashed potatoes the day before or even 2 days before. And I know there's people that will get in my face and go, you can't do that. It has to be fresh. No, it doesn't. Because warming a little heavy cream with some butter and then taking those mashed potatoes that have firmed up a little bit, putting them in a pot over low heat, now stirring in this whipping cream and butter, it's a really good thing to do. I'm telling you, they will come back. You won't have any idea that they weren't made at the last minute, mm-hmm. which is always good. Gravy for sure. So I spatchcock my turkey most years. Mm-hmm. That you just take the backbone out, you open it up like a book, you flatten it, and it cooks in about half the time and much more evenly. But the backbone that you take out and the neck that you take out of the cavity of the turkey, those are going to be used to help make your gravy. Mm-hmm. But I'm not waiting till Thanksgiving to do that. Mm-hmm. I did this yesterday. So I took the backbone and some vegetables and I browned it all in a pot. Then you add, chicken stock to that and some herbs, and you let that reduce. Now I've got an amazing base that I can now thicken tomorrow at the last minute with any drippings that have come off my turkey.
Interesting.
I mean, you know.
So preparing the gravy in advance, doing some pre-work.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, my Thanksgiving assignment this year, I'm going to a friend's house, is cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
It's kind of easy. I like a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm trying to spice it up. Any tips for adding some flavor, some zest?
Yeah, so I did this yesterday. I took a bag of cranberries. There's like a 12-ounce bag.
Mm-hmm.
I dumped it into a little nonstick pot in my house, turned on the heat. I put in, about a half a cup of brown sugar, about a quarter of a cup of white sugar. Too much brown sugar in this case makes it taste too molasses-like.
Uh-huh.
And molasses is what makes it brown.
Right.
So that, a little ginger, juice from about half of a giant orange, zest of about half a giant orange, and then about a quarter of a cup of vermouth.
Oh, all right.
Turn
a little
it
booze
on
in there.
When it's when the cranberries on medium heat start to bust, return the heat down to low. 8-9 minutes later, it's thickened. It's insanely delicious.
Yeah.
You need a little bit of salt in there.
Not
to make it salty, just to
That's
pop,
a great
make the
tip.
Pop.
Yeah, make it pop. And I was thinking about adding some fresh mint leaves. Do you have any tips on like good flavor combinations or what to look for?
For stuff
that?
Like that, yeah. I put some lemon zest in as well. I think the lemon helps balance the sweetness from the orange and the brown sugar. Balance is always a good thing. I think mint would be really nice, but I think you have to be careful. Not everybody, mint can overtake.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, just a little bit.
Make two batches, one with the mint, one with
yeah,
none.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
The other thing that I wanted to do, and I didn't want to get in trouble, and there are a couple traditionalists at our dinner, so I have to be careful. I wanted to throw a giant handful of blueberries in it. I'm sure it would have been great, and I'm sorry that I didn't do it. But at the end of the day, my wife came home, and I said, here, look, I made this. And she goes, it looks fantastic. She goes, one problem. I go, what? She goes, you didn't make enough.
Oh,
I go, I need more. See, I don't really dig the whole cranberry thing. It's not important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, I will make another batch, and that batch is going to have some blueberries in it.
All right. Yeah. I would try that.
Sorry.
Well, no, we just asked our audience and colleagues to send in some questions for you. We'd love to take some of those. So this one is from KPBS accounting tech Sandra Lee Mott. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Sam. I need some help, please. This is my first time having to cook the turkey, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Is it better to rub the butter under the skin of the turkey before it goes in the oven, or should I just baste the turkey throughout the cooking time with butter? Thank you.
That one's simple. Butter makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where the butter goes. And it's an herb butter. Look, if you had nothing but butter under the skin and on the skin would be great. But chopping up some fresh thyme and rosemary and sage, a little garlic and lemon zest in that butter would be fantastic. But the butter should go under the skin. And when you do that, you have to be careful because what you don't want to do is rip the skin. So what I'll do is make sure that my fingers, if I'm not using a glove or the glove, has got a bunch of the butter on it. And you gently start to lift the skin on the breast and work your way back.
Mm.
So you want a lot of butter right there.
Yeah.
And then you pat it down so you can see that it spreads out under the skin. And then a lot of butter, that same butter, on top of it. But this is after, hopefully, you've dry brined your turkey for a day or 2 days. That's really, wow, look how beautiful that
waffle is. And it smells good, too.
Smells
I can't wait to try
too,
that.
Yeah.
Well, we got another question from you from our listener, Genesis. And they ask, what do you actually like making in the air fryer, if anything?
I'll use an air fryer for anything, Andrew, really.
Okay.
And when it comes to Thanksgiving, you're not going to fit a whole turkey in there. You're for sure going to get a turkey breast in that.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. An air fryer literally is just like a little convection oven. And they're so efficient because of their size. Because it's a combination of temperature and moving air.
Mm-hmm.
So it moves everything around. It cooks things much more evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very efficient. So you want to make some rolls in the air fryer, Parker rolls. go for it. You want to make your stuffing on the stove, put it into a small casserole dish, and then crisp it up in the air fryer. 100% you should do that.
Oh, yeah.
You want to cook a turkey breast in there? Absolutely. It's a great place to do it.
You gave us some gravy advice already, but we've got another question from KPBS web producer Riley Arthur. Let's take a listen to that.
What's the best trick for making gravy that's not gray and tasteless and doesn't involve beef stock?
Well, for a start, I'm not sure why you're using beef stock for a turkey. Are you thinking turkey stock or just any kind of stock maybe?
Yeah, well, I guess maybe some gravy recipes call for beef stock,
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know what recipe that is, what country that's from, but perhaps there's a world where beef stock is required for like a turkey gravy. Maybe she meant drippings from the turkey. So if I'm going to use if I'm not using turkey drippings, I'm going to start with chicken bouillon, chicken stock, which is an easy way to go.
Yeah. And our Midday Edition senior producer, Brooke Ruth, had a question about oven temperatures.
Yeah.
She asks, when one dish calls for 375 degrees and another for 400 degrees, how much wiggle room is there to share an oven?
Oh, 100%.
Totally, fine.
I would split the difference.
Yeah.
And put the stuff in. Yeah, one's going to cook a little less, one's going to cook a little longer. But yeah, I mean, people go, which temperature should I cook something at? I'm like, listen, 350 for me is like the universal temperature. Anything will work at 350. When I'm cooking a turkey, I'm at 450 for a half an hour, turn it down to 375. If I don't have that because I'm trying to do double duty, no problem. 375 will work for that. A casserole, the Brussels sprouts, the potato, doesn't matter. It's all going to be fine.
All right. So splitting the difference on oven temps is a SAM-approved
100%.
Hack.
Yeah,
all
100%.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
What are the biggest mistakes that people make with Thanksgiving dinner?
I think people get freaked out. I mean, especially when it comes to a turkey. That woman said it's her first turkey, right? Mm-hmm. Just remember this. A turkey is just a big chicken. That's all it is. If you think you can cook a chicken, you can cook a turkey. There's not a problem. Yeah, I think that needs to come out.
Yeah.
So you're cooking. Take your time. Mm-hmm. Understand how long it's going to take and start early. You want to give your turkey about a half an hour rest time, gently tented with foil, before you start to carve it. So just work your time back. And listen, hot gravy is going to make a colder slice of turkey just fine.
Yeah.
There's too much concern for people over having everything all come out of the oven at the exact same time. Everything. Listen, this is not, we don't live in the Norman Rockwell world anymore. This is not a cover of time in 1957.
Yeah.
So it's going to be okay.
We can all just roll with the punches, whatever.
And celebrating Thanksgiving when you invite people over, give people jobs. Mm-hmm. That's a really important thing to do.
Okay.
But be specific. If you say to two people, bring potatoes, you may end up with two sets of mashed potatoes, and you don't want that. Bring scalloped potatoes, bring mashed potatoes, bring any kind of potatoes.
All right, so we got this waffle here. Yeah. I'm dying to taste it.
Show how beautiful that is.
Yeah,
that looks... You can use the fork if you want, or you could just break it into a quarter.
I'm just going to do that.
So stuff, and admittedly, you said you're not the biggest stuffing fan.
That's right.
But I think you might like that.
But you won me over with the stuffing omelet last year.
Yeah, I did let it get a little dark on the bottom.
Oh, I love the crunch.
It's great, right?
It's like caramelized on the outside.
It's beautiful. You know what it needs? It needs a fried egg, like an over easy egg on that. I think would be a really good thing.
This would be a great breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I love this. I might make stuffing just so that I can make a stuffing waffle.
There you go. I feel bad. I know you've got other stuff, but we started talking about gravy and the beef thing. If you don't have drippings, chicken broth will be fine. You do need to thicken it a little bit. You could use a little roux, melt a tablespoon of butter, add a tablespoon of flour, mix that together, then pour a cup of stock in, and that will thicken over the next couple minutes. Maybe add a little thyme to that, a little garlic powder, a baby splash of vermouth, a little salt and pepper. You're going to have a way better gravy than you will if you buy one of those jars in the supermarket.
So what advice do you have for someone who isn't the most confident in the kitchen but wants to push themselves a little bit this year?
Here's the thing that I say to people. They tell me they can't cook it. I go, okay, let me ask you a question. can you ride a bike? And they go, of course I can ride a bike. I say, okay, I can guarantee you there was a time when you couldn't ride a bike. Mm-hmm. And the difference between then and now is practice. That's all it is. You just have to do it. If it's too late now to start the whole turkey thing, try a chicken in December or January. Mm-hmm. If you can get a simple chicken down, you're going to be ready for Thanksgiving and a big turkey next year.
Yeah. Well, this has been a very delicious segment. Thank you so much, Sam. I've been speaking with Sam Zion. He is also known as Sam the Cooking Guy. He's a cookbook author and a YouTuber based right here in San Diego. Sam, thanks and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Andrew. Same to you.
And if all else fails in the kitchen and you'd rather just go out to eat, we've got some restaurant recommendations for you after the break. Stay with us.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Welcome back to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Andrew Bowen, filling in for Jade Hindman. Maybe you're well underway with Thanksgiving meal prep, or you're running through tomorrow's recipes, or maybe you'd just rather skip the cooking altogether this year and just go out to eat. Here in San Diego, plenty of great restaurants serve Thanksgiving dinner, so how do you pick one? Well, we've got Jackie Bryant. She joins me now with her recommendations. She's a lifestyle journalist and journalism professor right here at San Diego State University. Jackie, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here because I'm just like you. The segment we're talking about, I will not be cooking.
You will not be cooking this year. All right. Well, good to know. So in your opinion, what makes for a good restaurant Thanksgiving dinner?
Okay. So we live in San Diego. We have the highest number of small farms per capita with all sorts of amazing produce. And we have one of the most generous growing seasons in North America. So fresh, seasonal, we've got it. We've even got stuff that's not in season other places just because we can grow so many things here. So San Diego spots, they're leaning into local vegetables, especially local seafood and diesel turkeys. That's pretty much like every high-end restaurant menu you'll see right now are getting turkeys from this farm, from this processor. It's just like a very high-end one that a lot of good restaurants source from. So you'll also see a lot of comfort classics. And it's obviously in restaurants, you'll see a lot of fun twists. So turkey with things like salmon, short rib porchetta, a lot of pumpkin soups, obviously. Mm. I think a clear format is really required. So people want to know what they're getting into. So you've got prefix, you've got buffet, family style. People know what to expect. It's all rolled up in the price. You want a holiday ambiance. You want a coastal view or a resort dining room or, you know, like a hotel that zhuzhed up. And you want flexibility, especially, I mean, we're talking about this today. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. So if you are interested in this segment, you may be needing some options. So flexibility is very required at this point. A lot of restaurants will pair dine-in service with take-home pies. Some places will have things, you know, they're preparing knowing that last minute people will show up tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little bit. I have some tips for that. But the flexibility is a really big part of this.
So what's at the top of your list for places to eat tomorrow night?
Okay, so I am not 100% certain whether or not these places have reservations, but there is a good chance that they do. And people cancel with these things all the time.
Sure.
Holidays are very fluid, so I would check. So if you're going upscale or like a special occasion, the Marine Room is a really great option. And it's one that people think of for graduations or weddings or anniversaries, but maybe they don't think of for holidays as much. And so I like to say that because they, you know, they have a great chef de cuisine in there now, and they're cooking really great stuff, very vegetarian forward and friendly. Mr. A's is obviously another great option, but they've, you know, a couple of years ago did their renovation, and it breathed a lot of new life into the place, and it's obviously very festive. Air Valentin, another option. They just refreshed that at the Lodge at Torrey Pines. And so they had been sort of operating differently for the last year, but now the new dining room is ready, and that's one of the best finer dining restaurants in town. And then you've got La Valencia at you've got the La Valencia Hotel, and then you've got Rancho Valencia. Those are both two excellent options with prefix menus. Lana just opened in Solana Beach. That's kind of like a coastal Californian, modern Californian restaurant, but it'll be kid-friendly, family-friendly. That's like really hot, new, and buzzy with a really, really good natural wine list. Mm-hmm. Le Coq in La Jolla, that is the new effort from Tara Monsoud and the Puffer Malarkey Group, and they have a Thanksgiving menu this year too. That's going to be incredible. So if you want to spend, that's definitely where. George's at the Cove always does Thanksgiving. You've got the hotels, the buffets in particular, Vistal at the Intercontinental, the Hotel Del, Rancho Bernardo Inn, the Fairmont Grand Del Mar, Adelaide at L'Auberge, and that kind of rounds out your options if you want to, you know, go for one of those big ticket meals.
Yeah. Well, those all sound great. Is it even possible to still get a reservation, however, or should people just be writing these things down for next year?
Actually, it is. And again, you're going to have to check. We're at the 11th hour,
sure.
But there is some strategy. So I checked OpenTable this morning, and it shows more than 200 restaurants that still have Thanksgiving availability in San Diego, and that is on Thanksgiving Day. The Marine Room, Urban Sea, Giardino, Cafe Sevilla, Lana, Jimmy's Famous American Tavern, Arlo at the Town and Country, Et Voila, French Bistro, STK, Lionfish, and Anime, all are restaurants that have some availability, or they have, per open table, there's a lot of shifting reservations. So I would just keep checking, or to get around open table, you can call, but they have late movement usually. You should aim for non-prime times, so brunch, midday, or after 7:30. The buffets at the hotels, like the Bahia, Catamaran, Rancho Bernardo Inn, the Fairmont Grand Del Mar, they offer bigger rooms with more space. So it's much more likely that stragglers can get in there. Booking online or the phone. Basically, if you're not finding online, you can try the phone. Phones may be booked today, so if you can't get through on the phone, try online. It's a little bit of a horseshoe there. Bar seating is always your secret prepping with all dining, especially if you have small parties. Full menus, no reservations, so try that. And Altrea Coffee will be open at both its locations in OB and College Area with modified hours today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. They serve really good food, and they also have excellent coffee drinks. And in general, it's just like a very open, inclusive community spot. So especially for those who might be feeling lonely or spending the holiday alone, if you go to Altrea, you will find some friends there. So they will definitely be open and serving food.
So let's say somebody doesn't want to cook at home, but they also like the comfort of eating at home. They want to stay in their sweatpants all day. Some restaurants do offer take-home meals for Thanksgiving, right? What are your suggestions there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the great holdovers of the COVID era is that delivery is not only still a thing, it's actually kind of the thing. It's making up the majority of, you know, profit, or if there is profit, on any restaurant's balance sheet right now. So that is definitely in full force for all the holidays. So if you pre-order, there are restaurants like Juniper and Ivy, Great Maple, Morena Provisions, Rustic Root, The Plot, Finca, Mama's Pies, where you can pick up today. But sometimes people don't show up, or they try to cancel their order, or they made extra just knowing. So I would call those restaurants that already required you to make reservations for pickup takeout food and just see what the deal is. Like, if you need to have Juniper and Ivy, and I definitely recommend it, see what they've got going on. It is still possible to buy some things today and tomorrow without pre-ordering. Like, they are prepared. They know that you're coming in. Pop Pie Co. has its full pie inventory.
Love Pop Pie.
The best. Literally, yes. My favorite. And Stella Jeans, they also own that. And they'll have some of those pints in the store, too. So they're, locked and loaded. They know you're coming, and they know you've got some holes to fill. I just talked to Dan Valerino, who is the co-owner of Finca in North Park, and he confirmed that their roasted duck-centered takeaway meal still has two orders available.
Okay.
So you can call right now or go on OpenTable to claim them. And for $165, it'll feed 3 to 4 people and includes roasted duck and leg confit with black pepper honey glaze, potato dauphinoise with Parmesan cream, local honey nut squash with Calabrian chili, lemon and almond crumble, rosemary duck gravy, and fresh baked Parker House rolls. And all of the things are par cooked. So you got two of those left for $1.65. That's like insane for 3 to 4 people. Secret Sister, which is the sourdough bakery in Golden Hill of the in South Park of the Mabel's Gone Fishing and Rose Pedigree. They will have sourdough crust pies, dinner rolls, and other baked goods. They'll be open till noon tomorrow, but the owner told me this morning, come early. And I can confirm that because I always go there every year to do the same thing, and it definitely sells out. Extraordinary Desserts will have holiday pastries and pies stocked for walk-ins. Mm. The Wise Ox will have sides, gravies, and pies available. The turkeys did require a pre-order, but again, you never know. Maybe someone didn't, you know, show up. But you should have your turkey by now. Jimmy's Famous American Tavern has a Thanksgiving feast to go that is available today. SDK Steakhouse has Thanksgiving specials available for takeout. And the grocery stores, Ralph's, Vons, Albertsons, Sprouts, Whole Foods, Foods for Less, you can order those meals. I think Whole Foods has like a full Thanksgiving meal for $125. And plus, they also have the buffets.
All right. So if people are looking for vegetarian or vegan options, what would you recommend there?
Okay, so there's the Plot up in Oceanside. Again, they had a feast that you had to pick up, but you may be able to call and see what they can do. I mentioned Ultrea Coffee House. They have their leftover Thanksgiving food inspired vegan sandwich at all of it at its college area location. That's honestly the best Thanksgiving leftover sandwich in town. It is incredible. They will be serving that on Thanksgiving, not as a leftover. Donna Jean has a pre-order pickup. You can see if they have any spots left. Jyoti Banga, the vegetarian Thanksgiving, has a Thanksgiving plate dine-in meal that you can just walk in for. Mille Fleurs up in Rancho Santa Fe has a lion's mane steak entree. Paradisea has a wild mushroom risotto on their menu. People's Co-op, Jimbo's, Whole Foods, and Sprouts have vegan mains and side dishes, especially for the last minute. People's Co-op has their deli section has an incredible vegan Thanksgiving meal every year, and they will be open and really encourage you to go get that. Whether you're vegan or not, it's one of the best Thanksgiving spreads in town. And again, Pop Pie Co., they have vegan pies and peace pies, which are their vegan desserts. So they're all stocked with those.
Mm. So I know you have a toddler. What are some kid-friendly options for eating out on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we have a 2.5-year-old, and we will not be taking him to dine out. We will be handling that at home. But okay. I really support anybody who's going out there and doing it. You have my full support and awe. So Rancho Valencia offers a buffet and more kids' activities like a petting zoo, a bounce house, and crafts. So actually maybe we will be going there. And Rancho Valencia, in my opinion, has one of the best Thanksgiving dinners for adults too. Bahia Resort and Dockside 1953 has a kid-friendly buffet and their Thanksgiving Day cruise. Brickman's at the Lakeout Resort up in San Marcos has a lakeside buffet, live music, and kid-friendly dishes. Lana in Solana Beach has a kid's turkey plate and dessert plus chicken tenders, which is awesome. I would like that too. Lillian's at the Inn at Rancho Santa Fe has special children's pricing. Big Kitchen Cafe downtown has morning only, a classic kid-friendly breakfast. You want to stretch your stomach before the big meal. The Hotel Del has obviously all the holiday decor, the ice skating, the big spaces. It's full holiday down at the Del. And the Fairmont Grand Del Mar has a bathroom buffet, kid pricing, and just like a large resort setting where they can run wild.
So we've got about a minute left. What are your plans for Thanksgiving? I understand you're not going to be cooking.
So I won't be cooking, but my husband will be cooking a little bit, and we also have some takeouts. So we've been going around town cobbling together some solutions. So this morning, actually, we made a Secret Sister run. We picked up a pumpkin pie and some of those sourdough bread loaves so that I can confirm I'm very into that. We'll also be roasting a chicken because I support everybody in their turkey endeavors, but we're a small family of three, and I just think chicken tastes better.
Okay.
And I really love a roast, like a beautiful garlic, butter, crispy roasted chicken, I think is the platonic ideal of a perfect family meal. So,
and how different are turkeys and chickens, really? I mean, they're pretty similar.
They're pretty similar. And like Sam just said right before us, like basically it's just a big chicken. So we're downsizing. We're getting the more flavorful small white meat. We're also making macaroni and cheese. So I don't know if anybody listening follows Tiny the Younger. She's one of my favorite TikTok stars. And and she's a really great food vlogger from the South. And she went viral last year for her macaroni and cheese recipe, which was hotly debated across the internet.
Ooh, yeah.
And a lot of people came to her defense and said, no, actually, this recipe is legit. She's legit. So we will be making her famous mac and cheese this year.
Well, I've been speaking with Jackie Bryant. She's a lifestyle journalist and journalism professor at San Diego State University. Jackie, thanks for sharing all those tips with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's our show for today. I'm your host, Andrew Bowen, in for Jade Hindman. Thanks for listening to Midday Edition. Have a great day.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.